Well, it's true, isn't it? New England weather is certainly unpredictable. The temperature can shoot up 30 degrees in just a matter of hours, as happened last Wednesday. I've only visited places like San Diego and Phoenix, where you can count on the weather being just about the same every day of the year. And I can only imagine what that must be like. But then I have to wonder if living here in this unpredictable climate isn't actually good practice for simply living life. We try to get our lives in order, do the right thing, and play by the rules, and then sometimes, through no fault of our own, things fall apart. We watched in horror as houses washed away in the Colorado floods last month, as Hurricane Sandy devastated the New Jersey coast last year, and as fires rampage dry hills in California every summer. And just this week, the government of the United States of America shut down. The weather may be unpredictable in New England, but life is unpredictable everywhere. And not all unexpected happenings are tragedies or even the least bit negative. People win the lottery, fall in love, beat the odds every single day. Yet even knowing that, we are still unnerved when the thing that isn't supposed to happen happens. Do you remember the story of the concert about a decade ago in which the violinist Gil Shehan had a string break while performing a concerto with the San Francisco Orchestra? According to the review, the string broke right in the middle of the Allegro Vivace, the most demanding part of the entire piece. Shaham calmly handed his violin to the concertmaster, who handed him his own, and Shaham continued playing while the concertmaster strung Shaham's instrument and handed it back to him. The reviewer said the exchange was handled as smoothly as racers in an Olympic relay. Now, what amazes me about this story is not just that he could flawlessly continue playing, but that it should happen at all. This violin was a 15th century Stradivarius, one of the best violins in the world, being played by one of the best musicians in the world, and a string breaks in the middle of a concert. But that's how it is. Violin strings break. And when they do, the show must go on. I think that is what Wendell Berry is saying when he tells us that the proper response to the question, "How are you?" is, "I'm fine." Of course, there are places where it's fine not to be fine, with close friends, with a therapist, a minister at home, in a journal. But ultimately, it is expected that, like Hannah, we will go on. That's what this world asks of us. Even the question, why do bad things happen to good people, isn't helpful because there is no answer that makes sense. Remember Job railing against God. Job had been a good and faithful servant, the best, so he naturally wanted to know why now he was being afflicted with all of those boils and had lost his sheep and his camels. Why, he asked, why was he suffering? And the answer was, because you are. The Bible passage doesn't quite say get over it, but it comes pretty close. What we know is that life happens, and the pain and suffering that come to each of us is rarely, if ever, deserved. It is also not some kind of cosmic punishment, any more than happiness is a reward. A Zen master has said that life is a little like getting into a boat that is about to sail into the ocean and then sink. Isn't that life? Isn't that more or less what happens And aren't we all in that same boat? As Unitarian Universalists, we tend to have a far more here and now perspective to being in that boat than many religions do. For us, our lifelong spiritual journeys are not about arriving one day in a swell place called heaven, but instead on how we live here in this world, on this earth, with one another, and how we celebrate and appreciate the good times and get through the bad ones. What we know about spiritual journeys is that they urge us to be open to the blessings that come to us, open to the beauty around us, open to the moment at hand, open to the joys and sorrows of our lives, and maybe most importantly of all, open to one another. Therefore, spirituality becomes far less about belief and far more about awareness. Awareness and faith that every day brings a new dawn, and with it the possibility for us to choose anew how we will greet that rising sun. We know we can't always choose the circumstances we find ourselves in, but we can choose the perspective that we'll have, the outlook we'll take, and the attitude we'll foster. In his book, Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl says that he remembers people in the concentration camps who walked through the huts comforting others and giving away their last piece of bread. Those people may have been few in numbers, he said, but they offered sufficient proof that everything can be taken from us, but that last thing, freedom. Freedom to choose how we will respond and how we'll be in any given circumstance. And every once in a while, a great while, a human being does something so extraordinary that it radiates hope far beyond the circumstance in which it happens. When Vedran Smolovich watched people die in the bombings in his neighborhood in Sarajevo, now over a dozen years ago, he did not choose to run to his cellar. Instead, writes Victoria Safford, he resolved to do the one thing he could do best. He put on his concert attire, and he took his cello and walked out of his apartment into the raging battle around him. He placed a little stool in the blood-stained, glass-splattered crater where the shell had landed, and every day, for 22 days, he played Albioni's Adagio for strings as a tribute to his 22 neighbors and friends who had been killed. He played to the abandoned streets, the smashed trucks, the burning buildings, and to the terrified people seeking shelter in their cellars, listening for those 22 days. Sometimes, despite the odds, despite being in a sinking boat, the choice we make is one of hope. And we know there are people in this world, people like Viktor Frankl and Vedran Smolovich, for whom compassion is their first response. But I think so often when things go wrong, when things are hard, when things are beyond our control, when we're afraid, it's so tempting to look for something or someone to blame. I was 19 when my father died of cancer, and I remember wanting to blame someone because you shouldn't have to lose your father, your dad, in the first semester of your second year of college. And I was angry after he died, probably because it felt safer to me than being sad. And for a time, I believed his doctor had let him down, and that's why he died. But that wasn't the reason. Eventually, we come to accept that a great deal of the time, not always, but often, for the sad and the terrible and the hurtful things that happen in this world, there is no one to blame. And it's really no one's fault. I would like to think that I am close to a place in my life now where no matter what might happen, that my prayerful response would be simply to hope that I might emerge from the heartache with a deeper sense of compassion. And maybe if there's any redemption to human suffering, maybe that's it, gaining a greater sense of mercy. The late humanist Leonard Mason writes, "Rising from ancient cradles and reaching for the stars, people the world over seek ways of understanding, for we affirm a continuing hope that out of every tragedy, the human spirit shall rise to build a better world." I want to close with a story that the Reverend Scott Alexander tells of his family's ancestors who, in a perilous time, a different century, attempted to cross the rough waters of the English Channel in a boat that they knew was a little too small. And they set out knowing the danger and soon realized that indeed their boat was too small and the waters too choppy and they would never make it unless one person volunteered to go overboard. And that's what happened. One by one, each person took a turn swimming alongside that little boat, enabling safe passage for all. We cannot change the human condition. Always our lives will be finite. Always the world will be an unpredictable place. But always we can choose how we will be. And in the end, isn't choice what really matters most? So may it be.